Welcome to the Rogue Apostles Radio Show. I'm your host, James.
I'm John.
And I'm Faith.
Well, we've started a brand new year, and we've got a brand new president, President Joseph R. Biden. He got sworn in. How you guys feeling?
You know, I just want to know where the middle name Robinette came from. You know that's his middle name?
Yeah.
Robinette with the two T's and knee. I like it.
I think that might be a Delaware thing.
Maybe his mom was looking out the window and there was like a little nest in there with a little blue robin egg, and
she's just
coming out and hatching. I don't know.
You're like, oh, call him Joseph Robinette. Yeah, that's good.
Well, it's good. You know, it's good that we have a fresh start. It's good that we've gotten, you know, past a bunch of chaos that, you know, that has been the last couple of years.
Word.
And, you know, we're starting to, you know, turn the ship around and such. And we've got, you know, Papa's got a brand new bag, you know. yeah, it was just announced that he just ordered 200 million vaccines. So, I mean, it's just...
Which is awesome, because the last administration ordered definitely not that many. Like,
yeah, absolutely. I just think it's astounding to see what leadership looks like and say, hey, you Amen. Know, we haven't been doing this right. Let's do it the right way. What do you think, John?
Well, I would have to agree simply from the statements that have been coming out from Dr. Anthony Fauci and Dr. Birx, who were having to work under the previous president, he who shall not be named. And, you know, they were saying that it was tough because the things that they were reporting to the president or whatever were not the stuff that we were being told. And so they're even out there saying that it's refreshing now that there's the transparency that's happening, and that the fact that the White House is now showing a concern for the American people.
Yeah, you know, I watched the inauguration, and the thing about it was that, like, I did have a sense of renewed hope, and there was a lot of talk of unity. But one person that stood out in that inauguration, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, was my boy, Bernie Sanders. Yeah, he's sitting there just all curmudgeoned in with his mittens in, and he took over the internet. Faith, did you happen to see that at all?
Oh, I'd be surprised if anybody didn't. There was... actually, I take that back. There was one person, you know, I was on social media and I'm scrolling through, and there's a Bernie meme, and I can't remember. I mean, it was one of the thousands of iterations, and somebody was like, "Who's this dude with the mittens?" And I was just like, the breath like was sucked out of my lungs. I found one, but it was, I mean, they've been amazing. Those mittens, I don't know, like, the school teacher that made those mittens is about to be just like, oh, yeah. she can sell that pattern to anybody she wants for however much she wants, because it's about to go down for her.
John, did you see the mittens?
Oh my, I had to make a few memes myself, you know, pulled out the Adobe Photoshop and just went to town. But you know, the nice thing about it too is that Bernie never just, you know, took credit or took offense, I guess, from all of this. He actually went out and had his team create sweatshirts in all different sizes, turned around, sold them. They sold out immediately, and all the proceeds went to the local Vermont Meals and Wheels.
Yeah.
You know, that shows the integrity of that man and what he's willing to do and how much he cares for people.
Absolutely.
You know, Bernie has always proven to be just a leader, the leader that we've needed just over the last 40 years. He's always proven to have that leadership. What do you think, Faith?
Incredible. No, amazing. Yeah, I agree. And it's just like, at least I do. I know you do. Mm-hmm. We love Bernie. It's, I just like the presence that he has is not intimidating at all, but it is incredibly powerful, which is, I just respect about him. But I was also going to say, he also made that photo into stickers, and on his campaign website, you can donate any amount of money and get a free sticker of Bernie in the chair. So that's just, if you like want a slice of that, like if you didn't get the sweatshirt, but you want some Bernie like in the chair memorabilia, like that's a good place to go for it.
Heck yeah.
Which I thought was so smart.
Yeah, no, Bernie's team has always been on it. Well, the Biden administration has been busy. I mean, day one, they started just doing executive orders, overturning things and such. But one of the most notable things that I want to that came out today was his reversal of the transgender ban in the military. And there was so much passion. If you're looking on social media on either side of this issue, and you know me, I'm in favor of reversing the ban. And listen, I'm a combat vet. And so, like, you know, I believe in the good order and discipline of a unit, but I also believe that we need to, you know, our military needs to start reflecting, you know, exactly what this country looks like right now. Faith, how do you feel about that?
I think it's incredible. I think that, you know, it in terms of like one of the first things that you can do in office that is the most symbolic to, you know, a minority of people that we have and a special group of people that we have that have been heavily targeted over the past 4 years. Like that was an outstanding, not that I think it was performative, but I think that was an outstanding, like, here's how it's going to go. This is what this administration is about. And this is our first order of business. And this is how we're going to do it. I think that was a great move to make off the bat. And I am so excited to see, you know, what comes after this, because it was bold and it was one of those moves where it was like, this is how it's going to be, you know. I don't think he could have done anything more like, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't think he could have done anything really more like powerful as a statement. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. John, how do you feel?
Our trans community.
John, how are you feeling?
Yeah. So, you know, 2 years ago when Trump did the, oh God, I said his name.
We'll bleep that out.
When he, I know, right? So when he did his tweet saying that he was going to be doing this ban on transgender folks, because he envisioned that they reduced morale in the unit, that sent me, that pissed me off. I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it, because you know, again, I'm a vet. I'm not a combat vet. I was able to sneak in between a couple of different wars when I was in, but that's fine. But
we appreciate your honesty.
Well, yeah, you know, but the reality is that this is the same kind of thing that they said when they tried to keep blacks segregated in separate units, because if they said that they were put together, it was going to reduce morale. It was having women in the military in combat was going to reduce morale. It was having, you know, lesbians and gays, the LGBTQ community, openly in the military, that was going to reduce morale and cause issue. And that was absolutely not the case in any of those situations. And it's the same thing with the transgender. And I'm sorry, but that was the only thing that I think that Biden could do. I mean, I'm very happy that he did it. And I'm glad, because I agree, it's a very powerful statement. And, but you know, at the end of the day, somebody that wants to serve our country should be able to, and should be able to do that with honor.
Absolutely. And one thing that, you know, that sticks out to me is that a lot of people will say that certain demographics or certain groups want special treatment. And that is not the case. Let me explain something to you. You know, these groups, these minorities, the disenfranchised, all they want to do is have their slice of the American dream, their attempt at just living a normal life, just, trying to be happy in this country, in this world, you know? And so, you know, seeing something like that, seeing an action like that taken at the highest levels, I mean, it means a lot. You know, I can only speak as, you know, a black man, but, you know, I can speak with some kind of affinity towards, you know, the statement that happened. And I just think it's wonderful. I think it's a step in the right direction. Of course, America has many, many things that, you know, we must do in the future. But I feel like, you know, we can take it. We move agonizingly slow, but we, as long as we're moving forward, I'm happy. We're never going to move as fast as I want to, you know, we're never going to move as fast as I want to, but you know, any step in the right direction is a monumentous step. How do you feel about that, Faith?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of criticism for this administration from a lot of, you know, progressives and what people would generally call leftist. But the thing is that this is an administration that is open to being checked constantly. And I think that if we have the, you know, if we can organize as a country, like we did for this election and you know, the elections for the elections for everything else. I think that this will move faster than we give it credit for. I think this administration is going to move a little bit faster than we think it will. I'm definitely one of those people who, when I heard Biden was our Democratic candidate, I was, you know, I didn't have high expectations. I was like, of course I'll vote for him. But I think that they've done a really good job of making it clear that they are open to being consistently kept in check by the American people. So I'm excited. I don't think it's not going to move fast enough for me. I don't think it ever will, but yeah, I completely 100% agree. I think that this we're going in the right direction regardless.
How you feel, John?
Well, what are we? We're like 1 week into the administration and over 30 executive orders signed and pushed through.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, absolutely.
But you know what? Turnabout's fair play. The previous administration decided that they wanted to totally decimate anything and everything that the Obama administration had done, and most of that was done through executive order. So you know what?
Yep.
You know, Biden's the one that's in power now. His administration, but you know, it's he's more interested in doing what the American people are talking to him about than Donald ever was. So
yeah,
there is hope with that.
Yeah, I want to take a moment to just acknowledge some folks that have been with us during the Obama years, and well, Larry King has been with us for decades, and he's covered a lot of famous people, and he just recently passed away. So, I remember some of the old Larry King interviews. I mean, from way back in the day, that guy's interviewed so many people, Joe Biden being one of them. And I know the last years, you know, when he got done with the show, he started doing infomercials and such, but that guy was a legend. How do you feel about that? Anybody got any opinions on Larry King?
You know, I think we're starting to run low on journalists that are unaligned. You know what I mean? And I think like Larry King not necessarily was unaligned, but I feel like we're starting, you know, in the days of Fox News and Tucker Carlson, you know, it really is a shame to lose someone like Larry King.
Yeah, no, absolutely. John?
Suspenders. I got to go get me a set of suspenders in his name.
I'm hitting the thrift store. I'm hitting the thrift store right away.
No, but seriously though, I mean, I agree. Larry King was the king of the interviewer, and you know, Piers Morgan tried to fill his space in on CNN. That. Didn't work. Didn't work. I mean, you can't fill those shoes. So you know,
especially with Piers Morgan.
Yeah, well, exactly. So it was sad to see him go. Sad to see him go.
Yep. All right, folks, you're listening to the Rogue Apostles Radio Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
And I'm Faith.
And we'll be right back.
Big thank you to Craft Cannabis, formerly known as New Vansterdam, for their ongoing support of KXRW Vancouver Radio. Craft Cannabis is Vancouver's premier cannabis market for those 21 years of age and over. Visit craftcannabis.com to view an order from their full online menu, and they offer in-store, curbside, and touchless pickup to better serve you. Craft Cannabis is located in the Heights Shopping Center on the corner of Mill Plain and Andreessen Road. Open 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., 365 days a year. More information available at craftcannabis.com.
Community Radio Like This is brought to you by the generous support by our founding sponsors at ADCO Commercial Printing and Graphics, Clark County's local print shop since 1993. ADCO features stationery, posters, flyers, tickets, business cards, stickers, catalogs, and much more. Print on anything and mail anywhere. Learn more at ADCO1.com. That's ADCO, the number 1.com.
You're listening to the Rogue Apostles radio show. I'm James.
I'm John.
And I'm Faith.
Yeah, guys, I just want to circle back to the 200 million vaccines that President Biden has ordered. And, you know, I just, you know, 200 million, that we're talking about getting most Americans inoculated by late summer. And I just think that's amazing. Faith, what do you, how do you feel about that?
You know, I honestly, like, I am impressed at, you know, the speed at which this has happened, just because, well, I mean, I guess we'll see, you know, what the production speed is like, but going, they basically inherited a plan that was non-existent. You know, this Operation Warp Speed was not real. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's basically like, they walked into the kitchen and opened the fridge and there was nothing in there. You know what I mean? Like there was a cobweb in place of where the plan for vaccination should have been. And I am like overjoyed, really. I think that we should still, you know, prioritize our most vulnerable groups. But other than that, I am so looking forward to getting that vaccine. Like I'm not going to say I can taste it, but it's, you know, like the freedom is right there and I just want to grab it. Like I am so excited, and it'll be nice to not see on the news the fact that, you know, the cremation was at first limited and then the limitations were taken off because unfortunately there are so many people dying that, you know, California was like, you can cremate as fast as you want now, because before that there were pollution restrictions placed on cremation, but now it's we've come to the state of emergency where they're just like, go for it, just do it.
Oh my goodness. John, how do you feel about that?
Well, I can already imagine that Faith's going to be sitting there and she's going to get her shot and that little drip's going to be dropping down and she's going to be scooping it up on her finger and licking it and make sure she gets it.
Rubbing it into my gums. Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, don't waste it.
But on a serious note, I mean, I think one of the things that a lot of people just, it's hard to fathom the number of people that have died in this country. Right now it sits at, you know, as of this recording, at about 422,000 people. And a lot of people may not fully get an understanding of what that is. And from a local level here in Clark County, Washington, we have 488,000 people in this county. And so that would be basically the entire county would be a ghost town if it was just located here. And from a national perspective, because I know we have folks listening around the country here, the Arlington National Cemetery has approximately 400,000 graves in it. And so there are more people that have died from COVID in the last year and a half than all of the folks that are in Arlington Cemetery.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's a total wake-up call that this is something that needs to be done. And so I'm glad that this administration is really pushing to get these vaccines out and getting as anybody and everybody vaccinated that is willing to take it.
You know, we're losing a lot of people. We lost a lot of people, you know, to COVID. I got sick, and I know a ton of people that got sick, and some people recovered, some people didn't. But we also lost a lot of people just, in 2020. And in 2021, we lost a legend, really. It's a baseball legend. Hank Aaron died just recently. Yeah. And that was just very, very sad. And John, I know that you know quite a bit about baseball and about Hank Aaron. And, you know, how do you feel about losing a legend like that?
Well, you know, so for those who don't know who Hank Aaron is, Hank Aaron was a black baseball player. He started out in the Negro Leagues and then moved into the regular leagues when they incorporated everything. And he did something that basically got him a lot of death threats. He got to the point in 1973 of almost breaking Babe Ruth's home run record of 714 home runs, lifetime achievement. Wow. At the end of 73, they thought he was going to get it, but he didn't do it. But come 1974, he went ahead and he broke that record. And, you know, the thing about it is he got a lot of death threats from that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was breaking the sacrosanct thing that, you know, Babe Ruth's record of 714 home runs was around for, you know, like 70, 80 years. But you know what? He did it. He broke it, and you know, he was hailed as the next, you know, or he was the home run champion then. And you know, he held that record for 30 some odd years until it was not broken from my perspective by Barry Bonds, because you know, Barry was juicing, and so unfortunately any record that he has an asterisk behind it. So in my viewpoint, Hank Aaron was the and is the home run champion, and it was really sad to hear about his passing.
You know, this country is so rich in awesome history. I think that, you know, there's so many things that minorities and women and you know, people of color, and I mean, you know, everyone's breaking barriers and such, but you know, to really put, you know, to take it from memorializing someone and really take it to the time frame of which they were living and the things that they were going through, and understanding what these records, you know, what a record like that means at the time that it is happening, you know, to be doing great things in the moment, and having so many people, you know, tell you no, like you like they don't want it, but you still reach for the stars and you still do the thing anyway, you know, those victories, those what seems like, you know, small things, what may seem like small things at the time are just so large and it means so much to so many people. You know, I just, it makes me pause for a moment and really think about, you know, the impact that you don't even realize that you have, you know, like, you know, and, you know, Hank Aaron wasn't, I missed that, you know, for me, it was Ken Griffey Jr., you know, yeah. And Ken Griffey Jr. looked up to Hank Aaron, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, like, just to know the legacy, just to know my heroes stood on the shoulders of giants, and one of those giants was Hank Aaron, you know. No,
for sure, you know. And for me, it was a situation where I was 7-8 years old when that event happened. So yeah, you knew I had, and of course this is, you know, back in the days when kids had baseball cards in the spokes of their bicycles and everything. Oh, so yeah, I was in there, you know. I was a Dodger fan. I lived in Southern California. I was a Dodger fan, you know, blue and true. But I mean, seeing somebody do what Hank Aaron did, it, at that time, it didn't matter what team they were on. They were making history.
Yeah. Faith, were you a big baseball fan at all?
You know, I was surrounded by baseball fans, but, you know, and I played softball, but I never really understood it. It's a good, like, I can't remember who said this. It's a perfectly good, like, it's a good waste of a beautiful afternoon. Not that it's a waste entirely, but like if you have an afternoon on your hands and like you don't have anything else to do but watch this afternoon go by, like put on a baseball game or go, you know, go watch a baseball game or go play some baseball. So it's, but it is, so it's funny now to think about, you know, how it played such an important part in Black history, honestly, because it was, it really was sort of that, like when everything was integrated, it became kind of a political platform of sorts where people were like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't believe this is happening. And, but then, you know, it came to light, you know, how talented, you know, we all, everybody was, and it just like became, I think it was, you know, without baseball, there are so many things that I don't think would have come to fruition the way that they did. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, when I was in, I wasn't huge into professional baseball, but I was very much into minor league baseball, especially when I went down to the South, when I went to North Carolina, and they used to have, I used to love going to the baseball games because, I mean, they used to have all kind. I mean, you're right. It was a good waste of a whole afternoon just sitting in the sun, drinking beer.
Absolutely.
And for me, my favorite part of baseball, I mean, there was some action moments, but you know, there's a lot of lull time, but candy bars at a baseball game was just absolutely the best. And they always had the best candy bars. And one of my favorite candy bars was the Abba Zaba bar. Does anybody remember the Abba Zaba? That is a candy bar.
That's
still
absolutely not a candy bar. No, that's peanut butter taffy, James.
Oh, you know what, Faith? I believe it is a candy bar. John, I defer to you.
Yes, it's a candy bar. It was actually made the national candy bar by the Warren G. Harding administration in 1922.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
100 years ago.
You know what? I am sorry. It is not, you know, folks, we have this discussion going on about what they perceive to be old people candy. And I perceive these candies to be classics. And when I say classic, I mean timeless. You can't put a time period on these candy bars. They stand the test of time. Right, Faith?
I mean, here's the thing is that like antiques also stand the test of time.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and it doesn't, here's the, just because something stands the test of time doesn't mean it's good. You know what I mean? Like there are World War II landmines still out there, but
oh my God.
People don't bend over backwards to go and get one. You know what I'm saying?
John, help me out here. John, help me out here. Yes, you gotta love Abba Zaba bar.
I'm absolutely going to help you out. You know, the only reason people liked Abba Zabas back in 1922 is because they were eating them with their cocaine infused Coca-Cola.
Oh my!
Back when Coca-Cola was still good, you know what I mean.
You know, we are going to hash this out because I really feel like Abba Zaba is. If you guys gave me three candy bars, I feel like Abba Zaba, Chico Sticks. Does anybody remember Chico Sticks?
That was a TV show, right? Chico and the Man, or
no. Absolutely not. Faith, you have to remember Chico Sticks.
I remember Chico Sticks. And the only, I mean, you know something, you know a candy is for the elderly when there's a sugar-free version.
Oh my goodness.
Just going to put that out there.
Oh my goodness. Let me tell you
something. Well, but you know what though? Hold on. Yeah, I got to tell you though, that even the elderly don't do Abba Zaba because it causes their dentures to fall out.
Abba Zaba for? I'm so confused.
First of all, Abba Zaba is famous.
Who's buying it?
I buy it. I just bought it.
You're literally keeping the industry alive. Abba Zaba owes you some money.
All right. You know what, guys? When we get back, you are going to tell us what your three candy bars are, and we'll see if your candy bars are better than Abba Zaba or Chico Sticks or some of my favorite, like
the Cowtails.
Oh my God. I love
Cowtails and your Bit of Honey.
Oh, Bit of Honey is, you know what?
What is it with you and the chewy stuff here?
He's a chewy guy.
What do you got, Milk Duds or something too? You like Milk Duds too?
I love Milk Duds.
I knew you would.
You know what?
I knew you would. Bit of Honey and Milk Duds and Abba Zaba.
All right, you know what? When we get back, we're going to talk about your favorite candies and see if they also stand the test of time. Folks, you're listening to the Rogue Apostles Radio Show. I'm James.
I'm John, non-Abba Zaba.
And I'm Faith.
And we'll be right back.
Court-appointed special advocates for children, known as CASA, are volunteers who advocate for the best interest of children who have come into the care of the state as a result of abuse, neglect, or abandonment. You can lend your voice and volunteer with CASA to change a child's story. CASA offers virtual information sessions and training. If interested, now is the time to get involved with CASA and make a lasting difference in the lives of children and families in the foster care system. Clark County CASA is a program of the YWCA Clark County. More information available at CASAClarkCounty.org.
Big thank you to our friends at Boomerang Therapy Works and home of the KXRW Studios. Boomerang is the only physical therapy facility in Vancouver and Portland that specializes in the treatment of neuromuscular disorders and brain injuries like Parkinson's, MS, and stroke. They opened Boomerang to bring premier treatment to their patients. Find Boomerang Therapy Works in action on Instagram or Facebook and see how their patients are inspired in their recovery. They can be reached at 360-258-1637. That's 360-258-1637.
You're listening to the Rogue Apostles Radio Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
And I'm Faith.
So, just getting right back into the candy discussion, you know, if you were listening before, we were talking about American pastimes like baseball and the different kinds of candy bars you would get at different events and such. And I brought up Chico Sticks, Abba Zaba, and Cowtails, for which I received an abundance of criticisms. So I would like to know from my co-host, what are some of their favorite candy bars? And I'm going to kick it over to Faith and see if they also stand the test of time. Faith?
So here's the thing. I feel like before we really get into this, I want to make sure that we are clear that we're not talking about like the untouchables. You know what I mean? Like the Snickers, Three Musketeers, Payday, okay. Babe Ruth. Those are not like, we all know those are good candy bars. You know, obviously your classic Hershey's bar, they're like, it's just like when you think of a candy bar, that's what I think of. But my standby candy bars are like, and I think highly, highly underrated is Zero Bars, 100 Grands, and something called Violet Crumble, which I don't think anybody knows what that is, but it's, if you're a Violet Crumble person, like, then you know, like you're in the club. But I just like,
that's a small club, Faith. I think that's like you and two other people, Faith.
With incredible taste.
With incredible taste.
All three of us are incredible people, okay? Like
such exquisite palates, Faith. John, what are your three bars or your three candies?
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, first of all, I'm going to go over to what Faith was talking about, the 100 Grand bars. Yeah, I like those, but I think that those are relegated to morning talk show hosts who put on fake game shows where they tell people, call in, be the 10th caller, and you win 100 grand, and then they win.
I remember
they
that.
They make it.
That was
and then
terrible.
They go down there and they get their candy bar and then they're in the newspaper because they had a fit. Yeah. So, but my three are, I don't know if they're out there or not, but and we're including box candy in this. So I love hot tamales.
Yeah.
you know, mouthfuls of squishy goodness. York peppermint patty.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
You know, because I love it. Because I love being on a mountaintop going,
yes.
Commercials.
And then, of course, my candy bar that I absolutely love is the Charleston Chew. You know,
the Charleston Chew made his list.
Strawberry Charleston Chew. I honestly, nope, that's true. Okay. So if Charleston Chew is an old people candy, like I am definitely also an old person, but I mean, the hot tamales, you lost me there, but I can't. I'm not a cinnamon person in general, so that's probably not fair.
We know you have such exquisite taste, Faith.
I'm a sophisticated palate, okay?
Okay, let me tell you.
Me and my Violet Crumble people.
Violet Crumble. What about the Boston baked beans? Come on.
Ooh,
Boston
baked
beans. Boo! John, back me up here, John. Boston baked beans, come on.
Yeah, no, can't do it.
Kidding me? Let me tell you something. The Boston baked bean, the lemon head, the good and plenty. Mike and Ike's good and plenty. Yes. These.
Oh my God, not the good and plenty.
No.
These are.
Next thing you know, you're going to say jujubes.
Jujubes are the bomb. Okay?
Ew, what's wrong with you?
Okay, first of all the candies that I just mentioned are pretty much the 1992 dream team of candy.
1962. The 1962 dream team
of
candy.
Oh my gosh. You know,
I would say 1892, is that what you said?
I think that's what he said just now.
Let me tell you something. You know what? This goes beyond candy for me and Faith. If you're listening to this show, I run what we are doing online is a cereal wars, a cereal bracket. We call it Munch Madness.
The Breakfast Cereal Championship.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I just recently lost a bet to Faith. But before we get into that, let me explain what this is. What we did was I went to two lists, nationally recognized lists of the top 100 and top 50 breakfast cereals ranked. And at the top of that list was Cinnamon and Toast Crunch. So we did some math and we seeded 32 cereals, 32 cereals. And we've been running it for now. I mean, it's 32. We've been running it for, we're on day 18.
That's right. We just had game 17 yesterday.
Yes, and game 17 pit Cheerios, which Faith took that side, and Trix, which I took the opposing side. And in this cereal bracket,
you know what? That's on you.
This cereal bracket, we'll get to that in a moment. This cereal bracket actually has quite a huge following and quite a few people that are voting on social media. And, you know, I'm more of a cereal enthusiast, as you know, I go for the taste factor. I think all things considered, textures, taste, you know, all the things that make a great cereal. Faith, not so much. I'll let Faith tell and John tell us what they think about their cereal choices. I will say that Faith has been known to be how do we put it? She's a little on the bland side, is how I would describe
all
it.
Right.
But I'll let you
all
go.
All right. Well, so just a quick, I just want to lay bare the details of our bet and what happened in game 17. Basically, in a direct message, James and I were talking and I said, you know, it's really going to suck when Trix gets beaten out by Cheerios. And he said, you really think that's going to happen? And I said, absolutely. And he said, so let's make
regular Cheerios.
Regular Cheerios, plain yellow box, good for you, whole grain Cheerios. And he said, well, let's make a bet. And I was like, okay. And because I had previously said, I have a distinct dislike for Cookie Crisp and it just is what it is. I won't go. It's a terrible product. It's a terrible cereal. I don't know how it's lasted this long.
It's a great cereal. We'll go ahead.
But if Cheerios lost, I was going to have to eat Cookie Crisp. And this whole bracket came to being because I, on a walk that James and I were having, told him that Grape Nuts was a good cereal. And he said, you've got to be kidding me.
Grape Nuts, because it's not a cereal.
It is a cereal, just so you know. And you'll find out when you have to eat it, because Cheerios beat the pants off Trix. They beat the pants off it.
John, absolutely. Have you been able to watch the cereal bracket wars? Have you been able to see it on social media, John?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just got to say two things. Grape Nuts is flavored kitty litter. That's the bottom line. No. It's flavored kitty litter.
Yeah. Now, James,
it's flavored like wholesome goodness.
James, you cannot be laughing because you know tricks are for kids.
Oh my goodness. Tricks are for everyone. Okay. Let me tell you something. Tricks is one of the greatest cereals that is out there.
For
it's
children.
Not,
they're for children.
It's not, oh my goodness. It is not my top five cereals, but I would put it in my top 15. There is no reason why Cheerios.
That implies that it's like 13 on your list.
It's like 12.
You know what I mean? Because if it was like top 10, you would have been like, yeah, my top 10. Like if it was number 8 on your list, but the top 15 implies that there's a spot between 10 and 15.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm not going to just like go to the store and be like, you know what? I just want to have a thing. I just want to have some Trix. But if I were at the store and the only choice was between Trix and Cheerios, I'm picking Trix every day of the week. And John, come on, John.
Nope, because I'm going to tell you right now, your whole bracket thing, I mean, I think it's great. People are getting involved. It's awesome. There's all these different cereals and everything. But the reality is, bottom end of the line, Cap'n Crunch lacerated the top of my mouth from 1974 to 1985. And that will always be my number one. Mr. Captain Horatio Magellan Crunch on the SS Guppy is the guy for me.
Goodness. Oh
and
my
that,
goodness.
So Captain Crunch in the next round is going up against Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And gotta tell you, I don't think that's going to go well for the captain.
And that's where we agree. I feel like anything, you better be bringing your A game if you're going against Cinnamon Toast Crunch. You have to bring your A game because Cinnamon Toast Crunch is probably the number one cereal in the country, period. If I had a choice of my top five, Cinnamon Toast Crunch is at the very top. Faith,
yeah.
You may have a different opinion.
You know, honestly, no, we are absolutely on that same boat together. This is one thing we can absolutely unite on. I was just trying to remember who the mascot for Cinnamon Toast Crunch was. I'm pretty sure it's like a chef, isn't it?
No. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is just, they changed it years ago and it just made it the actual cereal. So they just drew mouths and eyes on the cereal and those are the mascots for the cereal.
Gave them the Frosted Mini Wheats treatment.
Yeah, exactly.
Hire that marketing team.
John, what's your number one cereal? If you had to pick one cereal, number one, is Cinnamon Toast Crunch not on that list?
Yeah, it's absolutely not on that list. And I'll tell you why. Because I just got done telling you about Cap'n Crunch. Cap'n Crunch is mouth asphalt. Cap'n Crunch is mouth asphalt all the way to the last drop of milk. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you pour milk on that stuff and it's soggy within like 30 seconds. And so you're eating this limp piece of wafer looking thing with brownish water.
Yeah,
it looks like something that looks like sewer waste. So I'm
yeah, but like Cinnamon Toast Crunch is not the type of cereal that you like pour the bowl and then you like sit there and like read the back of the box while you're eating your cereal.
Yeah,
like they don't, that is not a reading material cereal. Like you inhale it. Like at least I do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just want to run over. I just want to
admit that on the radio.
I just want to run over some of the games that happen. And I this bracket has taken on like a life of its own. And honestly, some of these things that won, I feel like there were some other motivations. I feel like maybe, you know, people were just kind of, it was a nostalgia kick, but let's just go down the list of some of these. Reese's Puffs in our first game went against Cheerios, regular Cheerios, and lost. Such a travesty. We had
Cheerios is childhood.
Oh my goodness. We had Trix go against Cocoa Pebbles, and Cocoa Pebbles lost. Then we had original Captain Crunch go against Count Chocula, one of my all-time favorites. Count Chocula lost. I mean, we had Waffle Crisp go against Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and of course, you know, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, it won. We had Oreo O's go against Apple Jacks, and get this, Apple Jacks won.
Oreo O's looks like cat food. It looks like cat food. Like, it looks like something I would like. It looks like the crunchy, like the kibble that we give to our big cat. Like it I don't, it just, I feel like it lost.
I feel like there's some hate there. I don't understand it, but I feel like there's some hate there. Okay, so we had cornflakes go against Raisin Bran. Raisin Bran won. Corn Pops. Has anyone had Corn Pops?
Yeah. Have corn.
Not in a long time.
They're unremarkable.
Unremarkable. Well, they went against Blueberry.
There's not really anything special about Corn Pops.
They went against Blueberry and Corn Pops won, but here we go. Cookie Crisp versus the Captain Crunch All Berry. Now, John, you like Captain Crunch. How do you feel about All Berry?
All right. So my Captain Crunch trifecta is All Berry is 3, Captain Crunch is 2, Peanut Butter Crunch is number 1.
See, that's respectable. I feel like Peanut Butter Crunch is very respectable. I don't know if it didn't make the list, but I feel like I could get down with that. Well, Oops All Berry lost to Cookie Crisp. So now we've got Cookie Crisp in the quarterfinals. But here's one that's criminally underrated.
Are you talking about
how many Honey Bunches of Oats?
Oh, Honey Bunches of Oats. Agree.
Criminally underrated. How do you feel about Honey Bunches of Oats, John? Come on.
No, I can't do them. I can't do them. But Honeycombs. I'll do Honeycombs.
Well, anyway, if any of our listeners follow us on Facebook, you can find the Cereal Wars Munch Madness bracket. It's a whole lot of fun. It really pits like a lot of people's childhood side by side, and you really get a feel for, you know, just what people's childhoods were like and stuff. But yes, I did lose to Faith, so I'm going to have to eat a whopping serving of grape nuts.
The whole half cup serving.
Yes, and if I live,
better go fast because it will turn into a 5-gallon bucket of grape nuts if you don't keep your eye on it. You know,
I full on expect that if I were to eat grape nuts, that I will literally choke to death. But listen, folks, you're listening to the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
And I'm Faith.
And we'll be right back.
KXRW programming is made possible by the generous support by David Dansky with David's Toys, buyer and collector of old toy trains, including Lionel, Flyer, Ives, and Marks. He is interested in buying old transportation-related toys as well as toy trains from the late 1800s to the 1960s. David offers appraisals for fellow toy train lovers as well. David's Toys can be reached at 360-576-1602. That's 360-576-1602. Domestic violence is not okay, and it's on the rise, especially now during this time of COVID-19. Domestic violence comes in many forms, such as physical abuse, verbal, financial, sexual, stalking, and technological abuses. If you or someone you know is in an abusive relationship, we can help. The Vancouver Police Department and the YWCA are here for you. You are not alone, even in this time of crisis. You can call the YWCA at 360-695-0501 or call 911 for the police. You can also find helpful information about the Safe Choice Domestic Violence Program at ywcaclarkcounty.org and in Portland at ywcapdx.org.
You're listening to the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
And I'm Faith.
So taking that trip down nostalgia lane, talking about our cereals, got me really thinking about some of the old TV shows that really hit a spot for us. And I just want to like kind of jog you guys' memory. You know, when I was a kid, you know, and I tried to stay a kid as long as possible. You know, I had the Disney lineup of Rescue Rangers, Darkwing Duck, the Gummy Bears, DuckTales, and then Gargoyles. And that was pretty dark, actually. Gargoyles was actually...
But that was quality.
That was some quality writing right there. Are there any like any 80s or 90s TV shows that like just take you down memory lane that you perhaps maybe some Saturday morning cartoons that you snuggled up to with a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and just watched all morning? Faith, did you have any TV shows like that?
We did a lot of like Disney type stuff in the 90s. There was a lot of like Disney cartoons. I remember Bonkers. I don't know if you guys remember Bonkers.
Yeah, Bonkers was a real one.
That one was really fun. That one's a little more like, even now in my brain, I'm like, that one's a little more newfangled. But I mean, like I was definitely a Gargoyles kid. That was like a family thing. Oh, we all loved Gargoyles. I still own the series on DVD. Wow. And like I'm like, that's probably why I'm such a goth now, you know what I mean? Like yeah, that's how I became who I am. But in terms of like nostalgic TV shows, I feel like we can't go down this road without talking about Golden Girls, you know what I mean? And I'm almost ashamed to say I only very recently, not very, very recently, but within the past few years, like I only recently became like a Golden Girls, like true fan. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because I've reached a point in my life where I can actually relate to it. So back when I was, you know, in my early 20s, I didn't understand the draw. But now that we're where we are, I'm like, absolutely, totally.
John, any TV shows?
Well, you know, I was a kid of the late 70s and early 80s, so my show of choice at that time was it was a toss up between Knight Rider, but the one that really won out was the A-Team. I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah, boom, 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 boom. That show was so good. Also, John, if you remember MacGyver was bonkers.
Yes.
That was a good show.
Guy could fix a helicopter with a ballpoint pen.
Oh, my goodness.
Stick of gum.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Faith, did you have any like old, like any shows that was like Knight Rider? Did you watch Knight Rider at all?
You know, I haven't watched a lot of Knight Rider. No. Trying to think about, we just finished a show that I really loved. Dang, I'm trying to think of it, but you know what? Another thing that we finished recently was like some 80s anime.
Oh yeah,
which is a whole different thing. But like, in all honesty, like we've been watching some One Piece around our house, which is like one of the oldest running animes, which is incredible.
Let me tell you something. What about ALF? Did anybody remember ALF?
You never watched ALF.
You never watched ALF? What about you, John? Did you watch ALF?
Yeah, keep your cat safe. Keep your cat safe.
Okay. Yeah, right. Well, you know, every generation has the things that they that brings them back and gives them kind of that feel good nostalgia feel. And I feel like, you know, millennials, we have our things and the boomers have their things. But, you know, I want to talk about, what I want to do is kick it over to a Keep the Faith segment with Faith Spencer, who's going to really talk about, you know, that other unspoken generation or really that underappreciated generation. So Faith, let's kick it over to Faith for the Keep the Faith segment.
Thank you, James. Yeah, today I kind of wanted to do something a little different. We've talked ourselves into basically hating Gen Z for a number of reasons. And I really believe that these are the reasons we need to love Gen Z. There's a lot of things that they don't understand, but you know, ever since ancient Greece, they found tablets that are basically authored by the elderly talking about the younger generation. So I think it's, you know, we have to remember that this pattern is pretty consistent throughout history. Gen Z being the most populous, they literally are the largest generation on the planet right now. And that's something that they outnumber millennials, they outnumber Not all together, but they outnumber us. They are a digital native generation. That's something that we have cast in a very negative light. But I think what you need to ask yourself is, if you were, you know the joke how we all wish we were born with a third arm, you're carrying something mm-hmm. heavy and somebody's like, what can I help you with? Oh, a third arm, that'd be great. Yeah. I mean, if we were born with that third arm, would we get made fun of for it? I mean, that's what Gen Z has with technology. That's what they have with this constant access to the internet, they are basically immersed in information at all times. And yeah. But that being said, in recent studies, they're also the generation that doesn't want to be reachable all the time. You know what I mean? Kind of, they hear us when relate. We say, yeah, they yeah. hear us when we say, like, you've got your nose in your phone. You are on your phone all the time. And don't you ever want to, like, you know, they do want to disconnect every once in a while. But it's just, we can't continue to demonize the freshest generation that we have, which have been ominously named, by the way. Like, if I got named Gen Z, I'd be pretty worried about it too. That's the end of the line. You know what I mean? But luckily, I mean, in case you're wondering, our next generation is Gen Alpha. So that's our next, the new beginning wow. is coming. But the thing is, we got to keep the faith with Gen Z, because there's an incredible defiant willingness to change things and an incredible boldness that we have never seen before, you know. And certainly as a millennial, it's basically I feel like the generation that the millennials wanted to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it's a feeling of watching someone do so much with so little resource. You know, I mean, I feel like they're working harder than we've ever worked, and they're so underappreciated.
Absolutely. Not only are there's more of them in the workforce than there ever were of millennials, than there ever were of boomers. Not only that, but there's more of them in college than there ever were of millennials and there ever were of boomers. They're literally working and educating at the same time. And I think we just don't give them enough credit.
Oh, folks. Well, that was Keep the Faith with Faith Spencer. Thank you, Faith, for that enlightening segment. It's something that we all really, really need to think about. Folks, you're listening to The Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
And I'm Faith.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next show.